So the questions are these. How can we really activate the best of the private sector to meet the challenges of the real world? Is there a way to accelerate my career that doesn't involve boring online or classroom courses? And can I really impact people in the developing world with the skills that I have? Can I finally feel proud of what I know? Those are the questions, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Philippa White, and this is TIE Unearthed. Keep listening, and you can follow us on our journey as we show you how we're connecting the private sector with the social sector to make change. Hello, everyone. Philippa White here, and welcome to episode 10 of TIE's podcast. Today, I'm thrilled to be speaking with my friend, Pip Hare, right before she sets sail around the world solo. Pip, I'm just so excited to have you with us today. So thank you so much for taking this time and this window that you have before you leave to be here with us today. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. It's a real pleasure.
Oh, so let me tell our listeners a little bit more about you. So I met Pip in January of this year in Cape Town. She was the coach for the Angola Cables crew for the Cape to Rio Regatta. And I was there supporting my partner, Guga, who was also sailing the Cape to Rio Regatta with the Brazilian boat, Sarava. Now, Pip discovered solo sailing late at 35 years old, not because she hadn't sailed before with a 15-year career as a professional skipper behind her. The British skipper has since sailed tens of thousands of miles, including two mini transats and one transat Jacques Vabre. She has slowly nurtured her Vendée Globe project until just the right time. Now, in order to build her campaign with the Vendée Globe, she has taken significant personal risk to charter her boat and make her campaign a reality. Now, she obtained the support of the Harbour of Poole and other local partners, which allowed her to progress through the early stages of the campaign until she found the title sponsor, Medallia. Now, Pip knows that she may not rival the boats on foils and multi-million euro budgets, but building this dramatic story of beating the odds to enter and finish this incredible race around the world will be more than enough to make her happy and will undoubtedly capture people's attention along the way. Pip, you are an inspiration. Yeah.
Thank you.
Now, tell us, I mean, I'm inspired and I know everyone who is going to listen to this will feel the same way, but let's put this into perspective. Tell us, what are you about to embark on? What is the Vendée Globe race?
So the Vendée Globe race is it's a single-handed, non-stop race around the world, raced every 4 years in 60-foot boats with sail areas up to 600 meters square. It's only open to a very few sailors. This year, 33 of us have qualified for entry. And in the whole history of the race, only 87 sailors have ever finished it, and only six of those were women.
Wow, that's extraordinary. And so, I mean, there's no stops. It's nowhere stop. And how long does it take around? I mean, obviously it's sailing, but how long are you expecting this to take?
So it's going to take me around 3 months. I think the very front is a fleet.
Okay,
the boats that are 20 years further on in design than my boats, I think they're aiming to break 70 days.
Oh my God.
I mean, as a sporting event, if you take the sailing away from it and you consider it as an endurance sporting event, it's probably one of the toughest on the planet as well, because as athletes, we're required to perform 24/7 for 3 months. Yeah. And there is, you know, these incredible statistics. So at some places in the Southern Ocean, you are closer to a person on the International Space Station than you are on a continental landmass. I mean, you're so on your own. You have to deal with every problem. You have to do your strategy. You have to do your risk assessment. You have to do your safety. You have to manage your own performance. And it just never, ever stops.
Yeah. And actually, that was something that I wanted to ask you. And so you're sort of touching on that. So let's I'd love you to bring that to life a little bit more. I mean, I find sailors extraordinary. And I don't know if many people listening to this will have thought about just what is needed to know to do a journey like this. I mean, can you explain really what you need to know to be able to not only, I mean, anyone who's sailing, obviously Guga's sailed a lot and in a group, at least a few people need to know how to do some things, but I mean, you are on your own as well. And so what is it that you need to know to be able to make a journey like this?
So levels of knowledge, ability, you know, it's this combination of sport, of mental problem solving, of emotional resilience. I need to be able to strategically route my boat. And I also need to have the physical ability to manhandle a boat that is charged when Oxen has all of this sail area. Then problem solving, how does it work? How do you fault find? How do you repair it? And that's IT problems, electronics, mechanical, sail repair, boat building,
medicine, if you hurt yourself.
Yourself, absolutely. Know how to self-stitch myself, how to stitch myself up, how to self-cannulate, you know, all of these things. Yeah. And then on top of that, there's just your operating on a really small amount of sleep all the time too. So I sleep for an average of 30 minutes at a time, minimum of 4 hours a day, sometimes more, sometimes less, but you can't sleep for longer than 30 minutes because the boat is charging along. The environment is changing all the time. So you need to keep waking up to make sure it's okay. You can never go into that deep sleep phase. So it's just a really huge blend. And on top of that, you just need an emotional resilience and I guess a determination, right?
Navigation, for example, from what I understand, I mean, you can't call on anyone else to help you. I mean, you need to be the one, obviously, who is navigating, but also reading weather.
So navigating across an ocean, a massive expanse of water, is kind of a bit more abstract than going from point A to point B in geography. You're navigating around or through weather systems to maximize performance and minimize risk. Moving and developing all the time. So you just got to keep looking and keep running these different scenarios. And where you go depends on how you're feeling, how the boat is. Do you need to do repairs? Are you trying to get ahead of someone? There's so many questions to answer when you're deciding where to go.
Exactly. And I think what's so incredible about sailors as well is, I mean, the weather machinery that you might have, or the maps, is one thing, but I'm sure you must have to follow your gut a lot as well.
Yes. Yeah. And there is, in a way, I'm kind of comforted by that. You know, experience matters. It still matters. There isn't a computer program that can tell you everything. And so you've still got to look at the clouds, look at the swell, look at the barometer and just know. You know, if your computer's telling you to do something that you really don't agree with, then, you know, you probably go with your gut.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's, exactly. Now, listen, you posted recently, and you touched on it a little bit in the intro, but the fact that more men have walked on the moon than women have finished the Vendée Globe. And for you, that's a really big inspiration. Can you talk about that?
I think I am driven by I guess I'm curious about what I am capable of. You know, I view myself as a very normal, average human being. I'm a 46-year-old woman. You know, I don't know. You wouldn't give me a second look if you walked past me. You know, but I want to know what I can do. I want to know what I'm capable of, and I'm really drawn to things that seem impossibly hard just to know if I can do them. And so, you know, a race like this, isn't that crazy? 12 men have walked on the moon. I mean, and 6 women have finished this race. And there's so many reasons that more women haven't finished the race. Largely, it's because only 7 women have started the race, but that tells you something. You know, 7 women have started and 6 have finished. So I guess it's just, for me, I just always up the game and say, well, could I do that? Am I capable? Is this possible? And yeah, I mean, I want to know if I could boost those numbers. I want to know if I could do it.
Amazing. What an inspiration. You posted something the other day that I loved. With the work that I do, we're all about putting people in situations that push them out of their comfort zone, challenge them, because it's actually in those moments that you really grow. And you posted that saying, you know, it's at the moments when it's kind of the toughest that you've grown the most. And I think this is a huge testament to that. I mean, you're sort of taking that to a whole other level. It's extraordinary.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I love about solo sailing is, you know, when I look at myself when I'm out on the ocean, I am the best possible version of me. You know, I do things that I don't necessarily do on the land, because I have to, because there is no one else to do it, because you're forced into it. You know, there's a problem, I'm the only person that's going to fix that. And sometimes on the land, we defer to other people through a lack of confidence, or other people take the option away from us because they don't believe that we're capable. But in the middle of the ocean, when there is no choice, you do become you gain more skills, you become more confident, it's such a pleasure to be there.
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm talking a lot about you at the moment, because I'm so impressed. And when I was talking to my mom, actually, I think it was my mom, and I said, God, yeah, it's amazing Pip's about to do this. And she said, gosh, being on your own for, God, 3 months, that's a long time to be on your own. And what tends to come up, and I'm sure you hear this all the time, you know, lots of people, I'm sure, ask you, God, why would you, you know, there's a lot of round the world races where you could do it with a team of people. And then there's the Vendée Globe where you do it on your own. And I mean, you just touched on it a little bit, but I just wonder if you can maybe elaborate just a bit. Just what is the attraction to do something like this on your own versus doing it with a team?
I think because it's just so hard. It's really hard. It's the most challenging way that you could do it. Yeah. But also, you know, especially coming up through offshore sailing as a woman when I was younger, those opportunities weren't available to me. You know, you didn't get to steer the boat. You would never even be asked. And so maybe part of the reason I ended up solo sailing was because nobody can tell me I can't do that job. You know, I don't automatically just end up sitting on the side and making tea and sandwiches. You know, I do that as well. But also...
Because you have to.
And I don't mind. I don't mind. But also, you know, the feeling is extraordinary, and especially in this boat now, you know, you are in the middle of an ocean, there is nobody for miles and miles and miles, and you have this powerful boat straining under the sails underneath you, and you're surfing a wave, and you just look around you and you just think, wow, this is, it's incredible. It makes you tingle all over. It's so exciting. I mean, I just can't. It is my drug. I can't get enough of it. It's amazing. And I don't get that same feeling when there's other people on the boat, because I think, you know, you can still feel the boat sailing in that way, but it's not all down to you, you know. It's a more euphoric feeling when I'm on my own.
Yeah, amazing. What do you think is going to be the biggest challenge on this journey for you?
I mean, the thing that I'm most worried about is just all of the small failures that could happen along the way, all the things that could break, and it's being vigilant enough to see the problems before they start. And, you know, it's been a really long, hard journey to get to the start line, and I have been so focused on getting to the start, and then all of a sudden I'm here, and now I'm thinking, wow, well, I have to get to the finish now too. And then you start thinking about all the things that could break, and we're expecting every component on the boat to break. I'm taking spares for everything. You know, I've got a plan for everything, but there are so many things that could trip me up, and, you know, my job is to be one step ahead of those all the time. So I think that's going to be quite a big challenge, and that's probably what I'm most worried about.
Yeah. You touched on just now, actually, and it's something I haven't asked you yet, but I do think it's important for people who are listening to understand, you know, there is a lot that goes into this. So obviously you've been preparing for a while, and it obviously isn't just a matter of, oh, here's my boat and let's do the Vendée Globe. So perhaps you can help people understand, you know, the construction of this kind of a project. You know, what is involved? When did you start it? What is the story of the journey, the preparation, the sponsor, the investment? I mean, what's the backstory?
I mean, I guess when I really, so I dreamed of, since I first read about the Vendée Globe and I was like 17 years old, that's when I decided I was going to do it. But I had no idea how, absolutely no idea how. It's not a sport that's well supported in the UK. There's no development pathway to get there. I lived in the middle of the UK, no sea around me. You know, I just had no access to people that could help me. And I was also incredibly shy. And so I kind of went for years just wanting to do it, but having no idea how to even start. And then in 2009, I kind of decided that this all had to come from within me. It's kind of, if you want to make something happen, then the first step is you open your door in the morning and you walk out and you say, right, well, I'm going to make this happen. And so in 2009, I decided I would write my own development plan effectively, and I would make my own pathway to get to the Vendée. And I started with a race called the Austar, which was a single-handed race across the Atlantic, which I was able to compete in because at the time I was living on a boat and I basically raced my house across the Atlantic.
And that's so insane.
And then from there, I just, every time I finished one stage, you know, when I finished the All-Star, I said, okay, well, I can do this. I've proved I can do this. So how do I get better? What's the next step? And that was a class called the Mini Transat, which are little 21-foot versions of the boat I have now. And I decided that I would do that. So I sold my home and I traded it in for a 21-foot boat and I lived in a van at the time. And then I looked at where the best training was, and that was in France. So I moved to France. And so there was a lot about just kind of investigating each time where I should be, what I should do. But then alongside that, you know, you've got to fund it, and this is all done through sponsorship. So each time I searched for my own sponsors, I wrote my own proposals, I pitched to people, I did all of my own marketing and PR, and just sort of bounced from event to event. And then I ended up, you know, finishing the minis. I went into class 40, and this is how, you know, I ended up meeting you. So I was sailing class 40 for a while, double-handed, but was really dissatisfied with, you know, I couldn't afford to buy a class 40 or run a class 40 myself. So I tied in with somebody else's program and was their sort of pro skipper. But it becomes work then when it's not your project or your passion, it becomes work. And it's a work that I loved, but it wasn't taking me where I wanted to go. And so I sort of then decided that I would try for a Vendée, but I needed to find a boat, and that's so difficult. So then I decided I would go into the, I would try and start in the Imoca class, but it was always very difficult for me because, you know, you need such a high level of sponsorship to make a campaign. You know, the range of the campaigns go from sort of $500,000 to 20 million. And I couldn't understand how could you pitch to a sponsor if you didn't have a boat and a project, and how could you buy a boat if you didn't have a sponsor? So I kind of got stuck in this catch 22, and then the opportunity came to charter my boat on a monthly fee that I looked at and I thought I could raise that every month. I could just pay that bill every month. All I need to do is just work hard. And so I decided to do it. I took out a loan to cover my first couple of months of charter fee, and then I opened a crowdfund. And that was incredible. Like the response to that crowdfund was amazing. These people who, I guess, it always staggers me how people who don't really know you are willing to invest in something like this.
But it's inspiring. I mean, Pip, to go from this story is incredible. It's not. It's amazing. Yeah, to make it possible.
So, and last year was definitely the toughest year of my life, without a doubt. You know, I had these obligations to meet every month. I had to raise a certain amount of money every month. I was also looking for a high level sponsor on top of that. But then I had to teach myself how to sail this boat. I had to maintain it. I had to prepare it for races. I had to do, you know, all my own marketing and PR. So I was a one woman team doing the Vendée, and I would go to events and there would be, you know, I would be lining up against teams that had 20 people in them, and I'm there on my own doing everything. But my concept was, I just have to keep going. If I can keep going, because to get into the Vendée, you have to qualify. So you've got to finish all these races. You have to have your boat certified. And so I just kind of went through the checklist. I said, right, I'm going to do this bit next. I'm going to do this bit. And every time I ticked it off, I thought, well, I'm becoming more viable for a sponsor now. I'm taking the risk away. I'm showing them that I am giving this my all. You know, someone is going to invest in me. And I managed to get through the whole year. And at the end of the year, I gained a place in the Vendée. I think it's probably one of the things I'm most proud of, is that I got through that year. I mean, don't get me wrong, I was massively supported by friends and family, like hugely. And complete strangers, you know, people I'd never met before in my life. I would put a message out on Facebook and they would come down to my boat and clean it and take the sails off and band it. And wow. I mean, wow, these people. And they're a part of this now. And so, you know, when Medallia came in as title sponsor in the middle of this year, they were able to do that because all of these people and these small companies that had put money, you know, small amounts in, and all of these people effectively were holding me up. And they made it possible for Medallia to come in and take the title sponsorship. And so this really is, it's such a massive team.
It's such an incredible story of determination and dreaming and just vision. And, you know, 17 years old, this was your dream. And look at you, you're about to go in what? It's November the 8th. So in a couple weeks, you're going to be realizing this dream. It's a huge accomplishment. I mean, because you're in the middle of this tornado right now, and it must be just, it's so full on. But I do hope that you've just stopped for a moment and just taken it in and being like, God, you know what?
I think I will at some point, but you know, as you say, it's just at the moment it's still so full on, and I sit there and I, you know, today I was standing on the boat and I was looking at the race village and there were crowds of people all lining up to come down and look at the boats, and there's a video screen with me and my boat on it, and people are asking you for autographs all the time, and I'm standing looking around me going,
it's happening.
I almost can't believe I'm here. It sort of doesn't feel like me in a way. I don't know.
Well, it's happening.
Yeah.
And what I really, because the people who are listening to this will want to follow you. And I just, in the write-up, I will put a link. But I do know that there's a way that, are you going to be communicating with people when you're on the boat? Is there, you've obviously been doing an incredible campaign. I've been following you on Instagram and things like that. But what kind of communication will you have with the outside world when you're closest to the space station than to other humans?
So I am, you know, one of my missions is to share this as much as possible. And it's as much for me as it's for the sport as well, because, you know, it's not a particularly well-known sport worldwide. And I think there is, if you take the sailing away, there is a huge human element to this that everyone can connect with and understand. So I want to share that human story. So I'll be sending back videos and photos and blogs. And you can find it on social media, Pip Hare Ocean Racing, and on my website,
pipharocean.com. Okay, amazing. So I will put the links on the link, but on the bio of the podcast. But everyone who's listened to that has heard that too. So that's good. We're going to wrap up in a moment, but before we do, I just want to ask you, is there anything that you can tell our listeners that I I don't know, that they might not know, or that I haven't asked you yet? Or is there anything else that you want to say before we finish?
I don't know. I don't know. I guess just that I really hope that they will follow it and engage with it, because the Vendée Globe is just the most incredible race. There are not just me, all of the competitors, the stories that come out of this race are incredible. And I know everyone's had a really tough year. It's just been rubbish. But if you want some inspiration about, you know, challenging adversity, you know, dealing with isolation, all of that sort of stuff, then really just you've got a lovely winter of watching the race.
And actually, you know what, that's such a good point, because so many people around the world, that, you know, this coronavirus pandemic has definitely brought everyone together in a way of a shared experience that has been pretty tough. You know, people have lost people in their families, lost their jobs, lost, you know, a lot of things. And there have been so many challenges. But like you say, you know, in challenge, you know, the obstacle is the way. When things are really hard, you know, doors close, but other doors open. There's, you know, there's always a way through it. And like you say, gosh, you're a perfect example of that. So I think that's a great example. And yeah.
I hope so.
Well, listen, Pip, thank you. Thank you so much for taking your time. I know that it was difficult for us to find this window, but I'm really happy that we did. And just to finish this off, Guga wanted to just send you a message. Now, I've had to translate this because obviously he wrote it in Portuguese, but he just wanted to say that I have sailed the Baltic Sea, Britannia, North Atlantic, and South Atlantic. Not how you're going to sail. I only went until 40 latitude in the South Atlantic Ocean. But I would like to say that going that far south is the most beautiful. It has the most strength and the most kindness and the most hostility. It's in Portuguese, punky, which is sort of, it's pretty full on. But it's beautiful. And it's a force that reconstructs so that you can meet the sea at the same frequency. And then he says, strength and all the best, Philippa and I are with you. So I just wanted to pass that message on to you.
Oh, wow.
And
thank you. That's really,
and
really
we are
lovely.
With you.
Thank
so we you. Will be we will be following you very, very, very closely, sending messages, sending videos, just to kind of keep you going. And I can't wait to connect on the other side when you finish the race.
Awesome.
Take
Thanks,
care.
Philippa.
Bons ventos.
Yay.
Good win. Hey everyone, this is Philippa again. So this is your chance to get involved with Tai. We have three absolutely amazing virtual opportunities available, all rooted in connecting the private sector with the social sector to make change. Tai has never been more necessary than right now. So if you're looking for life-changing leadership development opportunities for your employees and you want your company to impact the world, we've got you covered. If you're looking to step out of your comfort zone and use your skills to make a difference and keen to meet other like-minded professionals with similar values, then our Tai Accelerator program is for you. There are so many options, so I urge you to get in touch. Go to theinternationalexchange.co.uk for more information, or just shoot us an email. Better companies, better leaders, better world.